Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Tease him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Well, we've been fortunate enough to have Dino the last couple of Saturdays on the panel, but a staple of racing study in Victoria is Dino's Sunday morning analysis and hopefully even a Sunday winner. And we welcome back Dino to the Correct Weight program. Good morning, Dino.
Hello, Warren. I haven't known what to do with my Sunday morning, so it's good to be back.
It's great to have you back. And before we talk racing, just a bit of an update, if we can, on how you are going.
Getting better each day, Warren. I'm out on the ground this morning, so I'm right to play.
Good to hear. Good to hear. And how did you find racing in Flemington yesterday?
Oh, I thought the feature was the riding yesterday, Warren. I thought, whether it was, you mentioned the proactivity of Craig Williams on Berkeley Square, and even the way he rode Horrifying. I thought the elegance of the way Mark Zara cut through the field on Verin Scova. Damien Oliver just put on a clinic, with fifth position. Ethan Brown, Jamie Mott, Alana Kelly. I just thought the riding was the absolute highlight yesterday.
Tend to agree. And for the first time in a number of weeks, our introduction introducing the panel is actually correct with Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney. Great to welcome Brendan into the program. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Warren. Great to have Dino back, but he's back for 1 week and he's stolen my thunder right off the top. The highlights for me yesterday at Flemington was a ride. Zara Virenskova, Oliver fifth position, Lyrical Lad, Jamie Mott, Alana Kelly, Craig Williams. It was just some tremendous riding there yesterday. It was a great day's racing and it continues on today with three Ripper Jumps races at Sandown on the lakeside.
If we got time at the end of this hour, I know you love your jumps racing, Brendan, and we can't go a Sunday without asking Dino for a tip. Hopefully he has done some form on the meetings at Swan Hill or Sandown today. We'll try and get at least something for the listeners. I know the SMS will be asking for it by the time we get to the end of this hour. Let's kick off with a look at the feature at Flemington yesterday, the Ori Star.
Serious Suspect and Kalani Royale together from Just Folk and Shooting for Goal. King of Sparta, the Red Jacket. Stage Man just curled up behind those. Romancer off the bit on the outside. Serious Suspect is the leader. Shooting for Goal got up there early and now claims Serious Suspect. King of Sparta trying to come through. They're the big three at the moment. Serious Suspect still in front of Shooting for Goal and King of Sparta. Serious Suspect broke clear. He's in front. Stage Man's getting out and charging late. Serious Suspect in front. He's a little ripper. He goes home and wins again. Second Stage Man, third Shooting for Goal.
Well, Serious Suspect and his connections virtually had the last out of themselves, Dino. What did you make of his win yesterday?
Yes, it's the whole show to him, Serious Suspect, but it was a beautiful ride. It's a shame we didn't get Ethan Brown on to complete the set, but he was beautifully ridden in front. And real credit to Ethan, as Darren Dance mentioned, he's riding at 54 kilos and doing it very well. And Ethan's had such a long association with this horse. He rode him to run second in the Grand Handicap in 2018 at Flemington behind Order of Command. So, he's known him for a long time and he's getting just rewards on him now. Stage Man was good. I just want to see him win another race. I've seen him do that a lot in Perth, run home well and be a bit unlucky. 680 days between wins. Shooting for Gold, I'm sure better on drier ground. King of Sparta, don't think he liked the tempo of the straight that much. He had his ears back. He just never looked comfortable over racing. I'd be very forgiving of his performance, and yet he was only beaten less than two lengths.
Watched the race with Greg Miles in the mounting yard, who snuck out to the races yesterday in reference to Stage Man, Dino, and tongue-in-cheek, Greg hasn't lost his sense of humour. He looked at me and he said he might run second in a good race, that horse, during the spring.
Yes, he's got a bit of a knack of doing that, and he's a wonderful horse for connections, but it's about the punt, and I just want to see him actually get right through the line and win one now.
Your thoughts on the Ori Star, Brendan?
He was always going to be hard to beat, Serious Suspect. Once he got that run in front, that easy part through the early time of the race, he was always going to rev it. And I think it didn't help the cause of Shooting for Goal that he wasn't able to find a back. He got really revved up. Would have liked to have seen him in the slipstream of Serious Suspect or have the run that Stageman had and be the one having the last shot after being covered up. He just got a bit too keen through the early part of the race. I thought he battled on well, though, considering how keen he did get. The winner's just a gem up the straight, and when he's down to 54 kilos and gets his own way, he's going to be hard to beat. Stageman, well, Dino's touched on him. We just need to see him win a race. King of Sparta just got a little bit too keen. Romanta came off the bridle really quickly, but I think he's done an okay job there, only been beaten three lengths or so in a real dash late. So Serious Suspect, once he got that control through the early part of the race, he was going to take a power of beating, and Ethan just rated him perfectly.
SMS from Graham Dino with a declaration that he's a biased part owner and breeder of Serious Suspect. But is Serious Suspect underrated? Often tipped the place, rarely the win. Broke 110 on a soft six yesterday. Is that a fair assessment? Is he sometimes a little bit underrated, Dino?
I think probably he is. He's a beauty down the straight, and I think everyone gives him his due credit down the straight, and he runs well. He's run well in the Topaz. I mean, it's a credit to what Saab's doing with him, because in his last six or seven runs, he's been to the Country Discovery at Sale. He ran at Caulfield in the Vobis Gold Sprint, the straight six, the Gold Topaz, and his last two down the straight have both been wins. And yeah, he might have been a little bit underrated, but he did go around $14 in a new market, so the market has respected him in the absolute elite company on occasions.
Few options for connections, but I think they're probably leaning towards keeping him fresh and heading down the straight, which he's got such a good record at. What would your plan be, Dino, if you were involved in what you know about Serious Suspect?
Just like what they did with the Astrologist last year, Warren, and these races feed so beautifully. If you like the straight, Ori Star into the Bobby Lewis, maybe into the Gill Guy, and then you know, either the Group 2 on Derby Day or whatever they want to do through Cup Week. So there's races every 3 or 4 weeks, and he seems to love that sort of pattern.
Stage man, no doubt, going to step up in distance. Following his first run for Danny O'Brien in the Ori Star, a touch of spring in the air with the Ori Star, maybe a touch of spring in the air with Barclay Square taking out the first at Flemington yesterday.
As they turn the bend, only 4 lengths covers the field. The leader is Pelagio for Meach. Swings in front at the 500 metres. Mark Berkeley Square there, if good enough. The outside Water Bomber behind those Blake Max. Priscinia March under pressure. Castilian with something to offer down the centre under a grip, running on pretty well. Berkeley Square the leader. Water Bomber going after him. Berkeley Square forward on. The danger's going to be Castilian wide out with Priscinia March running on. Castilian is going out after the leader, Berkeley Square. Berkeley Square in front of Priscinia March. And Castilian, he might be a good horse, this Blake Berkeley Square. He ranges to the post to win by 2 lengths. Second a photo between Priscinia March.
Brendan, both you and Dino have indicated that the riding at Flemington was virtually the highlight of the day for you. Across the card, take us through your thoughts on Craig Williams' ride in the first.
Yep, perfect. Dan O'Sullivan summed it up pretty well. Only moments ago, Willow stood over him out the gates and made sure he was clean to get away, and then put him right there on the speed where we thought if he did get back, he might have a little bit of a task ahead of him. It proved that if he was back there, he might have had a task. Castilian was back there and couldn't quite wear him down, but Willow got him right up there on the speed, and he still looks to be pretty raw, but every time Willow asked him to come up again and quicken into another gear, he just responded. He's got the makings of a really nice horse. I thought the run of Castilian was really good as well. From the back tempo wasn't there for him. Cantered up like he was going to be really in the finish at the top of the straight, but those horses in front of him hadn't spent a lot of petrol, including the winner. I think he's a horse that you could be following as well. Priscinia March did a solid enough job, kept grounding away after racing on that three wide line. Black Max was grinding, Cusack was grinding. The winner, he's going to measure up, whether it be Caulfield Guineas or maybe even a race like the Carbine Club might be a beautiful race for him at Flemington. But I think first and second are two horses that you can follow with a bit of confidence next time out.
Thoughts here, Dean?
Yeah, well, Warren, you got to see him firsthand, but looking at him in the yard, Barclay Square, looked like he monstered his rivals just even before the race.
Yeah, he's a very athletic, scopey style of horse. As Dan said, he doesn't look like a two, just turned three-year-old, and you know, in time I'm sure he will fill out. Maybe he is going to be quite an athletic horse as his career unfolds, but he definitely looks like beyond 1,400 metres would suit him, and love the way he was able to just get onto the speed yesterday in a slightly different style of racing and then maintain a really strong gallop through the line. I think effectively on the line he was, you know, holding or even going away from his rivals. So I think there's some real positivity for him to go to stronger races, but he'd need to be on an upward spiral to be, you know, even dreaming of races like the Caulfield Guineas. But if Dan O'Sullivan's thinking that, then he's obviously, you know, shown him in his races to date and what he's seen at home that he's a horse worth pushing on with, Dean.
Yeah, I like him. You know, we've seen him in those two different roles, but I love the way that Craig sort of motivated him out of the gates yesterday and got him going. That'll be a really good part of his learning process. Now, in better races, they'll go at a quicker gallop. So he won't be leading, but he might be fifth, sixth, but that will help him, you know, learn to get out of the gates and get running a little bit. I thought Castilian, terrific. Best sectionals, 1,000 to the 200. The winner, though, they had that last first late, but that... both very good runs. Proscenium Arch, I thought the win at Sandown was a modest race, but ridden a bit differently yesterday, ran quite well. Black Max, I think that's about where he's at in comparison to Berkeley Square at the moment. And Pelagio, I want to see back onto a drier track. Water Bomber, maybe back in trip and a quieter ride. But Berkeley Square, a nice horse. Yeah, the Exford Plate and maybe a Stud Stakes. I think, you know, just going through, that could be a really good option for him.
Nice horse for Dan O'Sullivan and Connections. Craig Williams aboard in the first yesterday. Billy Egan didn't get the right run on Zamawi, but she proved too tough in race two.
Well away from the fence in the home straight, and Starlightscape moving up on the outsides, hit the lead. Quintello's after it. Night Passage battling away back to the inside. Star of Eden and Zamawi with a run. Quintello after Starlightscape, who's got a little bit of fight in her at the 200. Zamawi on the outside. Quintello's a shot duck. Zamawi going after Starlightscape. Defiant Diva getting out of the ground late. Starlightscape in front. Zamawi almost on terms. Zamawi, Starlightscape. Zamawi takes a narrow lead in the shadows. Zamawi powers away to win by a half length. Starlightscape second, Defiant Diva.
Stewart's report has her racing three wide from the 1,000 metre mark, Zamawi Dino, and we'll lead that into a subsequent discussion of how the track played yesterday. But first of all, how did you assess the win of Zamawi?
Well, I think the two that had... I know that she had a three wide run, Warren, but I've never liked her inside horses, Zamawi. I've seen a couple of times where I thought she's been a bit sort of timid amongst horses, and I thought she rolled into the race beautifully, and I thought the two that rolled into the race best, Starlight Scope, I thought Blake McDougall probably thought he'd be the leader, but when Star of Eden kicked up, he just used that horse beautifully, and the way he flowed into the race, he gave her every chance to run the 1,400, and that's about as good as she can go. And Zamawi, even though she was three wide, she wasn't cluttered up, and she loves that, and I think that was the key part of the race. But, yeah, she was, I think, good enough and deserving of a Saturday win. She's been handy through her career. As I said, Starlight Scope, I can't see her going much better. Defiant Diva, just she was the one that was a little bit cluttered up at a crucial stage of the race, probably getting onto the back of the favourite, which took her nowhere.
You've known Ken Keyes for a long time, Dino. He's one of the great characters and one of the great people and families in racing, McKee's family, and they're having a great run of it at the moment. Post-race interview, he just said, oh, well, the wheels will fall off sometime soon. He's always not necessarily gilding the lily, Ken, is he?
Yeah, he's got about a 10-wheel trailer at the moment, though. He's got a bit of credits in the bank the way they've been going at the moment, the stable, and this mare really has elevated in recent weeks.
A few horses in the Stewards report, Brendan, performed below expectations, may have come to the end of preparations in Quintillo and Indented Head. Your thoughts here?
Zimmerway, first off, perfect ride from Billy Egan, just got her out and rolling. They didn't seem to go overly hard in that race, and it's always an advantage if you've got a horse that's capable of rolling on the three wide line to be there over the 1400. Had a full head of steam up when it was time to let her work through her gears, and I thought she was super. Starlight Scope, brave on speed. She's having a really good preparation. She ran well down the straight early on in the campaign, and she wasn't beaten far there at a big price over 1,000. She's stretching to 1,400 now. Maybe just the back end sees her out. But she was brave. Defiant Diva probably didn't get the right run through Mississippi. Followed the winner, but just couldn't hold her back. Quintello disappointing, but end of prep run there for her. She had every chance from where she was. Night Passage was okay, and Indented Head Berry back on the inside was never going to be ideal, and she's run accordingly. But another good ride on the day. Billy Egan just trusting himself and rolling on that three wide line. And not a combination that we see all that often, Keyes and Egan, but two forces that are really flying at the moment, teaming up to win yesterday.
Flemington's going to get a renovation following the meeting, although there's a big set of jump outs there tomorrow, Dino. But how did you see the track playing yesterday?
I think overall pretty good, Warren. They wandered off a little bit early, but the straight, they used the outer part of the track, but We saw later in the day horses towards the inside on the circle perform very well. Admittedly, the tempo of the staying race favoured the leaders, but then Alana Kelly going forward in the second last race and holding on towards the inside. So I think overall, for the workhorse it is over winter, it's our premier track, yet it's a real workhorse running nearly every second week over winter, does an amazing job.
Thoughts, Brendan?
Yeah, just it looked as though the jockeys were getting the feeling that the inside was off, but it proved not to be the case. Ollie was happy to go back there, and a couple of others were happy to save ground back on the inside, so it wasn't as bad as we might have thought early on in the program when they started to wander, and middle to outside up the straight sort of par for the course at the moment. So I thought the track played really well considering how much racing it's had.
Verin Skova had trialled well, going in a good first up run behind Squid Game. She'd been back to the jump outs since. I think the challenge for most form analysts and punters was how Mark Zara was going to handle it from a near inside draw. He said, just leave it to me.
By 63. A length further back in behind those runners is Big Apple. To the far side, we've got Making Ground, Field of Roses. Grand Pope's under pressure. Where's Verin Skova? Verin Skova at the moment is coming to the centre of the track and is starting to run on. It's the leader, Duchess. Verin Skova two lengths away. Far side, Field of Roses running on. Wide out, 6 by 63. Verin Skova's hit the lead and gone for home. 6 by 63 went to second. There are no dangers. Verin Skova's racing away, a great ride too, and it won it by 2.5 lengths. Second goes to 6 by 63, screwed downfield.
Those of us that had our eyes firmly fixed on Verin Skova, Brendan, since the barriers were open, knew exactly where she was and really thought it was almost too good to be true the way the race was unfolding. How did you see it?
Yeah, perfect ride from Zara, perfectly executed. We've seen a few of these rides over the last little bit where riders are really getting proactive from those low draws and taking their medicine early, snagging it and finding a spot to come through the middle. But that was a 12 out of 10 there from Mark Zara. He knew where he wanted to be and they just left a path for him to come through the middle. It was a delight to watch. She put the riding on the wall first up. She ran right up to that. Two horses through the Madura Carnival have both run really well, conceding weight in the case of 6 by 63 to the winner. Came right down the outside, maybe in the right part of the track, but I still think it has done a creditable job for a horse that's got a pretty handy record. Screw Down came off the speed at Mildura, raced on speed there yesterday, was really good. The two Beds, good runners, I thought, ran really good races. Field of Roses down nearer the inside, battled on pretty bravely down there on its lonesome. Releaser got back and worked through the line nicely. Dreams and Schemes I didn't think was a bad return. Hasn't had a lot of racing in recent times, was up there, was under the pump, but was beaten six in the end, but probably entitled to blow out a little bit. You could see some improvement for Dreams and Schemes coming off that long layoff, but well executed from Mark Zara. There might be a couple of winners to come out of this race. You'd think Releaser could go back round a turn and win again in the not too distant future, and Field of Roses was a credible performance.
Couple of notes from the stewards report, Dean, in particular Grand Pope may be going for a break after that. Damien Oliver just reporting he may have come to the end of the preparation, and Nick Ryan confirming as much. How did you see it?
Yeah, well, I think the horse with the most talent delivered yesterday, Warren, and she's been a hard mare to keep sound. She's so big and strong, but her first up run was great, and yesterday she got her right reward and one with, you know, really good authority. 6 by 63 is very solid in this grade, and he ran well. As Brendan said, Screw Down ridden a lot closer yesterday, but the margins were significant, so that means, you know, the first two, I think, you know, there was a fair tail to this race. I think Real Easer was probably a little bit unlucky not to run a place because got hampered at the start and probably would have, with the blinkers on, raced a lot closer. The stablemate Field of Roses probably looking for a little bit further, and Lord Paramount back around a turn, back to 1,000, take the pressure, put pressure into the race. He over-raced yesterday and didn't finish off, but he's building up a few of those sort of convictions, and Big Apple obviously just, you know, he, whether he's flat or just wasn't on his game, he raced poorly.
In the day of highlights of riding across the program, Dino, how high do you have that ride of Mark Zara?
Geez, it was 35 minutes of between him and Ollie. They were both in their own way great rides, and we're about to talk about that one, but it was a beautiful ride. I mean, as you said, the seas parted. You couldn't have asked for better, and you could see it from about 200 metres after the start that she was going to get her chance, and yesterday she got to prove it. But he's such a beautiful rider, Mark, the way he gets horses just to travel underneath him, and then he's very vigorous when he needs to be. So, you know, he's as we all know, he's the complete package.
You talked about the seas parting, totally different pastimes in sailing and riding, but they may well show that video of Mark, the way he comes across when they're showing sailors how to try and tack across a waterway, you know, just glide right without losing any momentum and avoid all the other obstacles on the way.
Exactly right. It was just beautiful. And that's the key. I think, as Brendan said, a lot of riders are gradually coming across. I think if you overdo it, then you've got to put the foot down and catch up. So that was the one they should show at apprentice school, how to get your position on track down the straight.
Mark Zara back in town, no doubt building towards the spring and a winner at Flemington yesterday. Damien Oliver put his hand up for an outstanding ride on a day of many outstanding rides aboard, fifth position in race four.
With Blue Cup and further back, fifth position, looking for a run. Plenty of chances. Swelter Magic in front of Maximus Prime. A length away, Court the centre. Kissinger getting through. Blue Cup wider out on the track, running on well. Blue Cup and fifth position for Oliver. Bursting through. Fifth position, Kissinger going after Blue Cup. Blue Cup in front, fifth position. A magical ride, and he nails it and wins it a nose. Fifth position from Blue Cup and Kissinger.
Plenty happening in the home straight here, Dino. Take us through your thoughts on the race and Ollie's ride in particular.
Yeah, well, he was back, and the leaders were starting to mark time at about the 300, so you could see it was going to get a little bit tight, and sort of Maximus Prime, Swelter Magic was gone. Coulth was battling. Blue Cup had hit the front out wider, but it was Ollie getting through, and he was just able to keep his momentum, whereas I think Kissinger just had to bump a couple of times when you see the head-on with Coulth. And I think also missing the start was costly to Kissinger. I think if he'd been one position closer in running, he'd have been in the Coulth spot and may well have won the race. So, yeah, it was a game of inches there, but Ollie got it right. And post-race, Warren, if you're in the Mick Price camp, you've got to have a thick skin, because he tells it how it is about your horse.
He does, and looking into this race, we were talking yesterday morning, you wanted to be able to have a look at Blue Cup in the Mountie Yard, and Coulth's another one who can play up in the Mountie Yard, and Kissinger, they basically came straight into the Mountie Yard and went straight down the race, so whatever they did with Blue Cup worked, but you didn't get a chance to see him parade yesterday, because he was effectively into the Mountie Yard, Jamie Carr aboard and straight down the race, and did he still look to get a little bit keen, Dino, but obviously much better than he was the start before?
Yeah, he did, but he did sweat up badly behind the barriers again. Even though he got down there early, he was a bit of a mess there. So I think if they get him right, I mean, his form through some of his runs in Europe, at Epsom especially, is way better than this grade. So they've only got to get his head somewhere near right. And but that was interesting. That was his first ever placing outside of his wins. I think he's had 13 runs, 2 wins, and that was his first placing. So he's a hot and cold horse, but he was on yesterday. He just missed.
What's your take here, Brendan?
Ollie probably gets a little bit more of a nod over Zara, I think, for the ride, just because Verenskova was primed and ready to win, and fifth position was looking to break 783 days, hadn't won in the country, had looked close to winning before, and then it dropped off. So maybe bluffing him across the line gives Ollie just the nod, maybe ahead of Zara there, but he had to take his medicine from back on the fence. He got shuffled back probably a little bit further than he wanted, but he took his medicine, came up the inside, and it was tremendous late. Blue Cup was there with his chance, even behind the barriers when he was there. We were keeping an eye on him there yesterday. He was nibbling at the pony, and he was really exerting energy. He probably didn't have to be exerting once he got over there, because he was down at the gates for a long, long time, but still he was there with his chance. Kissinger runs well again. I thought Protection Money was a good effort, held up there at different stages of the straight, and didn't quite get the run through. Coulth was there with his chance. Maximum Pride, that probably didn't appreciate appreciate when the tempo dropped and he really got on the steel. He raced really well at Caulfield last time when the heat was on and he was left wandering in front for a long way. So a more genuine tempo for him. And horses that we thought might be the ones barnstorming down the outside just couldn't get into the race. Humboshi, best of those back markers, real sensation. He was a bit disappointing. The Awesome Sun got out the back, didn't finish off. But all honours to Ollie in finding the trick to getting fifth position over the line. And Blue Cup, if he does put it all together one day, he's going to win a race. But it's just going to be a matter of him getting everything right on race day.
Get your thoughts on a couple, Dean, that do feature in the Stewards Report. Jamie Mott, who rode the Awesome Sun, said the gelding failed to travel throughout. Nothing from a post-race veteran examination. And Billy Egan aboard, a real sensation. Didn't appreciate the step up in distance out to the 2,000 metres yesterday. And Billy added that racing on heavy tracks the previous couple of months may have taken its toll. Just your quick thoughts on those two, Dean?
Yeah, I totally concur with Billy's comments. I had a little doubt about Real Sensation, whether he might be a better run on Myler, but he's still got to give him the benefit of the doubt because of those heavy track runs. So not sure where he's at. He needs another win. And the Awesome Sun, yeah, that he's when he's good, he's fantastic. There's not much in between with him either. And yesterday mightn't have been run to suit, but you'd love to have seen him just go to the line. He actually was very plain laid out wide.
Race 6 yesterday kicked off the quaddie and Lyrical Lad had Jamie Mott aboard, been racing consistently, trying to get that next win on the board.
Big Brew tracking up behind them, then Somerset Maugham, Born a King and Brilliant Venture homeward bound. He's our Bonneville, moved up on the outside of Dirty Deeds. Look to have him covered. A length away here to Shock under the pump. Born a King getting up on the fence, running on. Then Lyrical Lad, he's our Bonneville's moved up and hit the lead. Born a King the fence and Lyrical Lad. Lyrical Lad and Born a King the far side. Lyrical Lad hits the front. Born a King tries to go with him. He's our Bonneville battling away, but Lyrical Lad, he got off the fence at the right time, perfectly judged, and he comes away and he's a real beauty in form at the moment. Lyrical Lad from Born a King.
So as a notification in this race, Brendan, of a change of tactics, they're going to be more forward on He's Our Bonneville, who did go forward. What were your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, he went forward. I'm not sure they'll be trying that again, because if you're mapping before he went forward, you probably had him maybe outside Lyrical Lad there, centre field, where he came from, and that wasn't a bad spot to be in that race. But they went forward with He's Our Bonneville, and maybe just not an ideal situation for him up on the speed. Lyrical Lad, midfield the fence, and the seas just parted for Jamie Mott once he got off the fence. The gap just opened at the top of the straight. Didn't have to break stride. He's raced so consistently for a number of months now. He was outbowled by He's a Shocker to deny him a Flemington win back in mid-May. He'd been narrowly defeated last time, had a narrow victory at Caulfield. He just keeps showing up to the races, and Jamie Mott and him just keep on producing. He got a wonderful ride the day he did beat Chief Altony there at Caulfield, and Jamie delivers again. Born a King, good, straight up the inside. They opened up for him. Preble had no option but to go there, but he's run well. Cash and Checks was a little flat-footed top of the straight, but once he got across heels and got into his work, he was good. Somerset Maugham's not far away. He's Our Bonneville. I think they'll go back again. Dirty Deeds wasn't bad until the 200, and Here to Shock just got too keen in behind them, had the right run, but just couldn't finish it off. But well executed from Mott on Lyrical Lad. He's a horse racing really well and holding his form perfectly.
Plenty of love, Dino, for you via the SMS and on social media. Just one from Kiama Downs, from Laurie. Welcome back, Dean. Great that you're well on the road to recovery. So Laurie's happy you're on the way back, and there's an army of Laurie's out there. Dino, your thoughts here?
Well, recovery took an upward spiral when Lyrical Lad one more on, that's for sure. Jamie Mott, well, he used the brilliance of Ollie, and that was a good starting point. He followed Here to Shock into the race, but sixth winner for the week for Jay Mott. He's in great form, and he goes so well on this horse, and it was a beautiful ride. And for those that are doing the VRMA Roy Higgins medal votes, they've got a bit of a task this week, because this was another one that the seas did part, but he put himself in a position where it was always going to happen. And beautiful ride, won well. He's a really consistent horse around this grade, and maybe a bit higher. He might be a good country cup horse at 1,600 metres. He's going so well. I think he's at the peak of his powers. Born a King ran well. Cash and Checks over from Adelaide was terrific, in really good form, as Brendan said about He's Our Bonneville. I thought it was the right move to go forward yesterday because it didn't look a high-pressure race. A couple more went forward, but, yeah, they've investigated that. And Designer Chef came from last to win over 1,200, and now he punches forward over a mile. I know he pulled up with a respiratory issue, but, yeah, I'd like to see him go back to being a run-on sprinter in the short term anyway.
What's the key to Here to Shock? When they went forward on He's Our Bonneville, Here to Shock was back in that spot and he looked to get a little bit keen, but he was a good winner the start before, Dino. If we're trying to identify what's the right scenario for Here to Shock, what would your thoughts be there?
Well, the variables yesterday, Warren, was he went from 51 to 58 and he went from 1,400 to 1,600. And at Caulfield, even though Tatum Bull said that she wasn't that happy with that ride. When she wanted to go, she just took off. Yesterday, he just had that little bump coming to the turn, and I think that didn't take a lot to throw him off, and head come up a little bit. And I just think, you know, there were a lot of variables against him. So I thought he had a great chance because he might get an easy lead, but once he didn't, then the game changed a bit. But I think down in the weights, 1,400 was the right scenario, two starts back, and probably have to work to getting that again.
Horrifying and through Irish eyes, Quinella to race at Flemington, going back a couple of weeks with Horrifying leading. They took a different tack on through Irish eyes with a notification of a change of tactics yesterday.
Higher Motion in Memphis, they're homeward bound. Horrifying quickly took over, led by a neck or so on through Irish Eyes. Port Guillaume a length away, Saracen Knight, Tea Waters is gone. They're well in the straight. Horrifying, the front runner from through Irish Eyes. They've had the race to themselves and they're going to fight it out at the 200 metre pole. Saracen Knight over two lengths away. Horrifying in front. Through Irish Eyes is rallying on the fence. Horrifying in front. Through Irish Eyes is putting in a big show. Through Irish Eyes and Horrifying. Horrifying just in front. They drive to the line and the favourite a nose. Horrifying a nose through Irish Eyes.
Got the photo right there, Dino. An intriguing race. Let's talk about how you saw it pan out.
Well, it was another staying race. It was a dawdle, but it was a fascinating race how it unfolded through Irish Eyes. They made the announcement of being more forward this time and Ethan Brown just wandered him to the front and Craig Williams was well and truly alert to that and they went through the easy sections. There was a bit of a charge coming to the turn, but I don't think either horse that ran first or second got out of their rhythm. And Saracen Knight came along for the ride with them, and ultimately they beat the rest four lengths. But Horrifying, just he looks magnificent, and he's running accordingly. And another really good performance through Irish Eyes. He just needs that next win on the board. He's going well. He's very honest. And Saracen Knight, as I said, chased them honestly. High Emotion, I think it will be better for another day at the races. Her effort was okay. And Tea Waters, he had a beautiful flowing run when he won at Caulfield. He had rolls and no effort, setting up a really good, even speed. And he rolled into it like the true stayer he is. Yesterday, stop start, he looked really lost. Right on the line, he was actually going okay again. But I think that race didn't set up well for him.
Last time the Horrifying and Through Irish Eyes met, Dino, there was a really strong wind in their faces around the circle, and there was talk about how slowly that race was run and maybe it was just trying to avoid working into the wind. Just is there any analysis or perspective we can put together to compare how quickly they went yesterday compared to that race during that stages of the race?
No, I haven't got it as yet, Warren, unfortunately, but you know, watching the sectionals coming up on racing.com, they were very pedestrian again. Both horses in a good rhythm, and I thought, Ethan Brown, when that group came at the 800, he didn't, you know, bustle his horse up. He stayed close to the inside and well away from that wider group, and Craig Williams likewise. He didn't let them dictate an early move. They just gradually went through their gears, and ultimately that's why they ran 1-2. And Damien Thornton, as I said, he worked it out pretty quickly that they were the two to beat and got on their back.
Mid-stages, Brendan, looking at the sectionals on racing.com that Dean referenced, they were running something like 14 for every 200 metres, 14 seconds. So they weren't going quite as slow as they did at least one or two of the furlongs in the previous time that they met, but obviously those two on speed were getting a good time.
Yeah, there wasn't that nine-goal breeze that they were punching into last time, but maybe next time we have a 2,500-metre race at Flemington, we'll just let them go at the 1,000 and let them sort themselves out from there, because that's what's happening at the moment. They're getting control of it, they're walking, and they're not giving those back in the field a chance at all, and maybe someone from back in the field needs to pull the trigger and put some spice into it. But they knew what they were doing in front, Ethan Brown and Craig Williams. They ran the race to suit themselves. Horrifying. Just got the bob from Through Irish Eyes. He's going well Through Irish Eyes, but as Dean touched on, you'd like to see him win a race. But listening to Connections yesterday on the way in, he's a pretty smart hurdler, apparently. So he's had a couple of trials. Maybe that might be where we see him win another race soon. Saracen Knight was good. High emotion. That race just doesn't set up for her. She's going to appreciate a race where they're rolling. Porky Orm, fixed up T-Waters. I don't think he likes being inside horses to start with, and when that stop-start tempo came into it, he got a little hip and shoulder. I don't think he liked it too much. If they run it at a genuine tempo, that's where it's going to suit him. And those out the back, WT, just really didn't like that slow tempo. He really pulled hard back in the field, but they controlled it from the front, and they deserve to run 1-2 just the way they ran the race. So good effort from Horrifying to maintain his form, and Through Irish Eyes is going well. But let's hope next time we've got a staying race at Flemington, we see a bit more of a rolling tempo.
Dean, Lawrence Eales and Mark Cavanagh are now in partnership with Levi, have experienced the ultimate with Astaya. Shocking, who's the sire of Horrifying. At the top end of this race, Horrifying, Through Irish Eyes, perhaps High Emotion, Saracen Knight. What could they possibly be aiming at in the weeks ahead?
Oh, there's a lot of options. Try and aim too high, I'm not sure, but there's certainly, you know, the Flemington 2500 on Mackay Davis Stakes Day, and there's the listed race at Mornington and those sort of races. So there's plenty of options going forward. Just a matter of them getting the right options for these horses.
Craig Williams developing a good association with Horrifying, bringing up another win yesterday. Talked about the riding during the course of the day. Alana Kelly pulled out a pearler on Turn on the Charm in race 8.
Homeward bound, the front runner Zoltan, wide out William Thomas, and Turn on the Charm in the centre. A link further back in the field, Nicolini Vito, just felt for, not responding at the moment, making up some ground, winning partner, and further back in the field, Bam's on fire. It's Turn on the Charm going up to Zoltan. Nicolini Vito can't get there at the moment. Turn on the Charm in front. He leads the way. He's broken clear by a length or so from back of the field, winning partner running on. Turn on the Charm in front, and he's going to charm them out to their pants in the last or second last of the day to go on and win from winning partner.
Stewart's report regarding Turn on the Charm. Brendan says, raced keenly in the early stages and then from a wide gate was allowed to stride forward by its rider and settle outside the leader, and ultimately that might have proved the winning move with Alana.
Yep, certainly. I think the winning move was when she just waited on the turn. There were runs coming around her outside at about the 600 metres. William Thomas strode up, Nicolini Vito, winning partners, all put in their runs, but she just waited until they got to her, and then she really went for Turn on the Charm. She could have been easily flustered into trying to pull the trigger a little bit too early and going when the challenge came, but we've seen Alana show that patience through particularly the last 18 months or so on the big stage, and she executed that perfectly yesterday on the speed and just waited and went when it was her turn to go. She wasn't forced into pulling the trigger. Winning partner did a good job. Speed was on, solid from the back. Mr. Exclusive jumped quickly, really got fired up, and maybe with Turn on the Charm and Mr. Exclusive jumping so fast, they just spurred Zoltan on a little bit and got him nice and keen up and leading. But Mr. Exclusive looked like he was gone on the turn, and then hit a bit of a flat spot at the top of the straight and got rolling again through the line. Nicolini Vito had to make an excuse for him. He got into a lovely spot off a nice rolling speed, but there wasn't a lot there when he needed. Desert Icon, I thought, was a good effort through the line for something further, and Zoltan just got way too keen at the head of proceedings. But another perfectly executed ride there from Alana. She just waited till she needed to go and then put them away.
The only suspension out of this meeting, Dino, came with Tatum Bull on Mr. Exclusive, and that's added to another suspension that she's got. This was for whip use, and she was also fined. How did you see this race pan out?
Yeah, well, it was the ride, I think, that getting up on the speed here on Turn on the Charm and keeping the horse in just a really good galloping rhythm. I think got a little bit messy coming to the turn for a couple of them. As Brendan mentioned, that Zoltan was too keen. William Thomas over-raced at the 1400 once he saw daylight. Nicolini Vito probably had to come out early to protect his territory, but I think Daniel Stackhouse said it best in one word in the stewards report. He raced flat. I think whether that first up run took a lot out of him. Warren, he's certainly no oil painting to look at in the yard, but I think he's still got a lot to come in the coat yet, and maybe, that was just a bit of a flat day out for him yesterday.
Yeah, he looked bright enough and he looked fit. Certainly, you're right, he's not an imposing galloper. He's quite an athletic, fine style of gelding, but he paraded well enough. I thought, looking at him, that he'd improved from that first up run from a fitness perspective. But, yeah, obviously the performance wasn't there to match that. From another thing from the stewards report, unfortunately, Shandy, who is now with the Clayton Douglas stable, she pulled up with an issue with a throat abnormality. So hopefully Connections and Clayton can get to the bottom of that. But she was resuming, Dino, from a tendon strain. So obviously Shandy's future might well be in the breeding barn. And unfortunate that after doing all the work to get her back to the races, they had that result yesterday.
It is, because she, at her best, had a lot of time for her. But, it was disappointing to see her not show her best yesterday.
She was in the Midweek Hall of Fame for a while there, I think, Dino, wasn't she?
She could have been. She could have been. She certainly was very, very good. And even at, I think, Moonee Valley one at a Saturday meeting, she was winning there. So, no, she had a very good run there for a while, but long time off the scene, and now another little issue for them to encounter. And the other one, Macram Warren, he seemed to, I think Mark Zara said he looked uncomfortable, but there's more to the story than that.
Yeah, post-race veterinary examination revealing cardiac arrhythmia with Macram, the imported galloper who's shown a bit since he's been here for the Lindsay Park operation, but stewards won't allow him to start again until they receive a satisfactory veterinary report. The report must include a result of an ECG performed at rest and cardiac oscillation performed within 30 minutes of completing a satisfactory gallop of at least 1,000 metres. They're going to put him under a bit of pressure and then check his heart recovery, etc., because he pulled up with cardiac arrhythmia yesterday, which could well be an excuse, hopefully, for Connections. He can come out of that and improve on. Down the straight in the last yesterday, and Fire was a relatively short price favourite, but they let you on late.
Exeter, then Sacred Palace, well back Sam's Image and Palmela True at the tail of the field. In the straight down by the 300 metres mark, Zipping Boy the far side, still there with Baltimore Bullet Fire, Chain of Lightning unleashing on the outside. Pioneer River and Sacred Palace, Fire's hit the front now from coming out of Chain of Lightning, but Fire broke clear from Chain of Lightning in the shadows. Chain of Lightning's lunging now, she's got him. Chain of Lightning got home to beat Fire the last two strides. Third prize going to Pioneer River.
Well, horses building a good record here in both Chain of Lightning and Fire, Dino, and an experienced straight horse in Pioneer River completing the trifecta. How'd you see the last?
Yeah, good win by Chain of Lightning, and what was different to her Caulfield win was she was ridden quieter, and she had that in that profile of her two previous wins on the provincials in New South Wales, but that was a terrific win yesterday, and I love the way that she just did everything right down the straight, really focused, and that was the difference between her and Fire. He just, from about the 200, once he had those beaten to his inside, he just wanted to lay in and made it really hard for Damien Thornton to get at him and get him to the line. But he ran well, but he's got to just straighten that out. And Pioneer River, he's just run into a couple of pretty smart horses here, but he's really going well, and it's going to be harder for him at this time of year to find the right restricted race down the straight at Flemington, but come summertime, he'll probably fill up again.
Thoughts on the last, Brendan?
Yeah, super effort from Chain of Lightning, as Dino touched on. We've seen her control the race at Caulfield, but prior to that, back off the speed, and she just worked through her gear so nicely. For Jamie Carr, Fire didn't help himself. Got to the 50, rolled in. He's been beaten half a length, and he's very nearly cost himself that much ground by running around Piney River, a usual suspect down the straight. Sam's Image turned back the clock a little bit there yesterday and ran through the line. Sacred Palace was okay. Exeter was okay. Squid Game, I know they went forward for him last time. I much prefer him to see him back and charging through the line than being fired out on the speed. I think a little bit of cover and running on is where I'd like to see him be ridden anyway. But chain of lightning, good fire. Just got a little bit wrong late, but you could see him bouncing off that and winning again in the not-too-distant future.
Sam's image, a better performance there yesterday, Dino, and John Sadler, one of the great characters of racing and one of the great trainers of racing in Victoria and Australia. And we hear him on our radio station promoting Ribeiras, and good to see that Sads is prepared to put his money where his mouth is. There was a couple of birthdays in the Sadler family during the week, and they managed to put together a lunch into dinner doubleheader at Ribeiras on Friday. So that's a sensational effort from the Sadler family.
Absolutely, and we hear John on the station more than anyone at the moment. I'm glad that the menu is still swimming the day before.
Terrific day of racing at Flemington yesterday. The Ori Star going to Serious Suspect, a great win for Sabasan and Connections. It's 11 to 10 on RSN 927. Take a break. We'll look at the Missile Stakes and get some early thoughts if the boys have got any on a big day of jumps racing at Sandown today.
Brought to you by Tabs The Lock. Activate to get Tabs' best starting price guaranteed. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
Is last of all. Prime Candidate straightens in front by two on Embracer, then Forbidden Love, Bellucci Babe going back to the inside, working into the clear as Wonderbar and Gem Song on the outside. It's Prime Candidate just the leader from Gem Song, and going through is Wonderbar. Hard Empire down the outside with a big run. Hard Empire moved up to Gem Song. Hard Empire, the Queenslander, went on by and won the Missile Stakes. Wonderbar second and nose.
Well, I hope you managed to find Hard Empire, Dino, to help lift your spirits yesterday. What did you make of the Missile?
Well, Warren, it was an interesting race in that a horse like Prime Candidate, with fitness on her side, just tried to bust them open. And I think a few of the first up runners probably didn't really appreciate that frantic speed early. They went a really solid gallop, and the field broke up over many lengths. And it was left to a run-on horse like Hard Empire, who another one that had fitness but got to the outside and was able to beat the three Chris Lee's runners, Wonderbar, Gem Song, Enchanted Heart. I think Chris Lee should have had another one in the finish in Special Reward. Got shuffled back early and then didn't see much light late in the race. Ran very well. And Forgiving and Count the Rupee, I think just that hard run first up and peaked on his run. Forbidden Love, maybe the track dried out too much for her, and she just needs that genuine wet ground. But she was another one that probably didn't need, she was riding the speed, and all of a sudden that speed was going so hard that she was locked into that spot, and you could see by about the 300 she was in a bit of trouble.
Two feature race winners yesterday in Hard Empire and Serious Suspect. There's some chance they might have been stablemates at some stage during their career, Dean.
Well, they've traversed some kilometres, Warren. Hard Empire, I'd forgotten about the Tasmanian start, but the rest of him, he's been to every state nearly, and he's performed, and Toby and Trent Edmonds have certainly, they understand what he needs, and yesterday was fast pace and get to the outside, and Rachel King from Barrier 2 did a great job to do that.
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, had to double look when I heard Hard Empire coming down the outside just to make sure Darren had the right horse, but speed was on for him there yesterday. Dean's outlined it perfectly. Some of those horses that close to the speed, Forbidden Love including, probably didn't appreciate that solid gallop on a drying track at this stage of their preparations. Wonderbar, I thought she was brave. Gem Song was solid. Enchanted Heart, good count to Rupee. I think he's run well enough there first up. Hylal, back off the speed, maybe a little disappointing, but looked as though he was getting into that little bit of a scrimmage from probably about the 200, and maybe didn't appreciate the real hot speed like that fresh up. He just couldn't pick up and chase, but you'd expect him to improve. But I think they found the right day for their payday, the Edmonds team, and well done to them.
Rhino's a regular contributor via SMS, Dino, and add him to the long list of contributors who are pleased to have you back. And away from horses, he's just thinking, Dino, is there one or two trainers that you might think emerge during the spring? For him, for Rhino, he's got Nick Ryan as really putting himself on the stage this spring. Is there one or two in your mind?
Oh, I think if they get the right horses, certainly Nick Ryan has positioned himself really well. And I think his maturity in the last probably 2 years, is starting to shine through, and he's got such a great background with so many good trainers. So, I could certainly see Nick. You know, he all but won a Group 1 with Dice Roll last spring. He could be well to the fore. But, there's many of them putting their hands up. They've just got to get the right horse on the right day, Warren.
I'll get your take on that also, Brendan. But firstly, a question that you probably can't answer, Dino, but someone's sitting at home and thinking, gee, Dino does a lot of form study. In the course of your form study, Dino, how many race replays do you think you've watched? I'll give you about a year to try and calculate that.
I'll pass on that one, Warren. That would probably depress me that I'd spent that much time watching race replays.
I've wasted my life.
I'd rather be on the golf course.
Brendan, your thoughts on maybe one or two trainers that we might be able to put a ring around for the spring?
Nick Ryan and the like of those, that middle brigade, just need the stock to take them through. You'd like to attach yourself to some of them, but we know the bigger stables, the Wallace and the Mar Eustace combination have got bullets to fire, and their big team are about to come through. So as nice as it is to have that run under trainers win races throughout the spring, I think the Wallers and the like of the top liners are the ones where you probably want to be latching onto when they bring their big guns out.
Big day of jumps racing at Sandown today with the Chris Steeple and the Grand National Hurdle. While you've got the mic, Brendan, what are you most looking forward to today?
Looking forward to all three jumps races. I think the Crisp is a real intriguing sort of race. Ground drying for Flying Agent. He likes it really wet. Valak's got to push himself to a trip and maybe straighten out his jumping. We've seen Alison flying over the hedges. He's got to stretch it and bring it to Sandown. Well, he did run well in the Australian. Then a few up-and-comers. I'm giving Yulong Place a pretty good chance in the race, but the likes of Brungle Birdie and Mustang Harry have been going well at the fences, so it's going to be a really good race. Chains of Honour, Hostar slipping to this end of the throne, look the four in the 120, but you wouldn't be surprised if five or six of them could win that race. And then Saunderboy the Cossack looks a really good stoush. Would have liked to have seen it on a real heavy track to bring the Cossack up to Saunderboy. That's where he does his best work. But I think St. Arnica is not without a chance in that. He wasn't beaten far in a galley wood. I think he would have been in the finish of the Lafferty if he didn't catch that heel on the flat coming away from the third last and losing Willie McCarthy on that occasion. But we've got three crackers coming up this afternoon.
What are you most looking forward to, Dan?
I agree with Brendan. I think they've all got their really good storylines. But for me, the Nationals, obviously, a time-honoured race. But the Crisp, I'm pretty keen on Brungle Birdie each way. I just think 4,200 will suit him. Aaron Lynch, just a good rider, flat or jumps. I think he'll just keep going. Brungle Birdie, young horse, relatively fresh legs. I quite like him.
Would he be the tip today if we can squeeze you first week back for a Sunday tip?
I like him each way. I like the first two races, Warren. I thought that in race two, Rising, I thought he ran really well at Crambany, all but one. Big, strong horse. And I think just the day at the races will have tightened him up. Used barrier one around Lakeside because the flat racing's on Lakeside. I think Rising's got a terrific chance. And around the $4.40 with tab.com.au, I think he's a backable price.
We've got some early questions looking at Melbourne Cups with the noms coming out. We might give you a week or two to get your head around those noms and give us some pointers towards the Melbourne Cup. Right now, let's look back on yesterday, get the boys' runs of the day, horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
There's something comfortable about having you back in the chair on a Sunday, Dino, and I'm sure our audience are thrilled to have your analysis. How do you sum up yesterday?
Oh, I'll go with Serious Suspect as the run of the day. I think he controlled that race, and he's such a good straight horse and well-deserved of winning that good race. The horse to follow, we didn't mention him in the second last, really, but winning partners on the path towards the Balaclava Cup and Murray Bridge Cup again, and he's right on target. He had to cover ground, make a long, searching run. Looked as though he had plenty of cover on him, so he'll improve off that, and I think he'll be going close in those races. So it's a bit of a long-range one with him, but those races will suit him well. And with regard to the Melbourne Cup, Warren, there was a really important race on Thursday, the Belly Roan in Ireland, and Gear Up in Cleveland, round 1-2, both Joseph O'Brien's. I suggest if you get a chance to have a watch of the replay, both of them might end up in Melbourne.
Names again, Dino?
Gear Up and Cleveland. I would have a leaning to Cleveland, but both very nice staying horses, and both three-year-olds, so they're going to get that lightweight come Melbourne Cup time.
Gee, although there was a request, I didn't want to put any pressure on you for an early cup tip. Thank you for bringing us up to date there, Dino, and that, great to have you back on air. Look forward to your contributions ongoing as we build into the Spring Carnival.
My pleasure. Thanks, Warren.
Dean Lester there. Brendan, how do you wrap up yesterday?
Run of the day, going to go with Verenskova. I thought perfectly executed from Zara, put the writing on the wall with the first up run and at the trials, and a good effort by the team to get her into winning form. Horse to follow for me, didn't mind the return of Desert Icon. He's got a good second up record. He's probably going to have to stretch 14 to 18 to get into his hitting zone, but I thought what he did fresh up, could see him winning either second up. If not second up, he'll be in the money third up.
Yeah, I'm with you with Desert Icon. I thought he looked terrific. He's a lovely, strong, rich, dark colour to his coat. He'll improve out of that. Serious Suspect, the runner of the day for me.